The scripture passages we have today are these really amazing passages that don't really feel like they fit very well together. Okay? We have this passage where Jesus talks about forgiving your brother and binding and loosing, and that binding and loosing passage, you know, as charismatics, we're like, yeah, we get to talk about binding and loosing, and whatever you agree on, it'll be given. And we have this passage where Paul talks about how to live a godly life. And, you know, we could do a whole Bible study on that. And then we get this Ezekiel passage, which is really, really interesting. And the challenge is, how do you make them fit together? And I was talking to my wife, saying, I have no idea. This is just not working well. I have these really great passages, and they're just not fitting well together. And then I left for church this morning. So, you know, they're really challenging passages. But they're really great. Because we have this interesting idea about binding and loosing, and we take it all in a certain way. But it's really interesting in the way that Jesus talks about it. And the way that he talks about it, it's all done in the context of forgiveness. Because when he's talking about it, he's talking about it as he's talking to his disciples. He's gathered them together, and he's giving them advice on how to live together, how to be in community. And he says, look, if a brother's done something wrong, here's what you do. And it's very practical advice. Look, if somebody does something wrong, go to him. Tell him, hey, look, this is what you've done. If he refuses to hear it, take somebody else with you. Say, look, we've been talking, not because we've gossiped, but because we're concerned about you. This is what happened. If he still refuses to hear it, go to the church. Because by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. If he refuses to hear, then tell it to the church. If he refuses to even hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. No political commentary there. And then Jesus says, assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, this is something that's really, really interesting, because the Jews had this idea of binding and loosing. It had to do with this, like, ancient mysticism about casting spells and binding spirits and releasing spirits. And that was in the ancient days. And as it came forward into the time of Jesus, the Pharisees had claimed this authority to bind and loose as it came to vows, as it came to all sorts of different things. And what they could do was they could bind and loose people, and they could bind them and loose them from the synagogues to where someone was forbidden from going in and out of the synagogues or in and out of the temple. So they could literally bind them or loose them from worshiping God, because, you know, for them, you couldn't just go anywhere and pray. You couldn't just, you know, be by yourself and speak to the Lord. You had to go to places and pray. They could bind a day as a fast day. Today, we're binding as a fast day. So you can only eat certain things. You can only do certain things. They could literally bind a curse on someone. They could make them an anathema. And they could exclude them from the community. They could excommunicate somebody, just like they would do back in the days of the Jews wandering through the wilderness. When somebody was found to be a leper, they would drive them out of the community until they were cleansed. They could do that. Okay? They could do all sorts of these things. And when Jesus gets into Jerusalem, he gives the Pharisees the worst lashing that he gives anybody in the entire Bible. And he looks at the people, that he's talking to, the great crowds, the multitudes that are following him, he says, don't be like the Pharisees. They bind heavy burdens on people, and they won't lift a finger to ease their burdens. They don't do anything to loose anything from them. They bind, but they never loose. Don't be like them. Now, our passage is from chapter 18. In chapter 16, Peter confessed Jesus as the Messiah. He said, truly you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed to you this to you, but my spirit. You are Peter, called rock, and upon this church, or upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not stand against you. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And now here in chapter 18, he's telling it to all of his disciples. Because this passage here, he's speaking to all of his disciples who are gathered around him. So now he's broadening it to them. He's saying, you're going to do this. Now, on Easter day, when he finds the disciples in the upper room, he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Okay? And this is taking something from the Pharisees, saying, no, this isn't about controlling people. It's about setting them free. It's about forgiving them. It's about letting them not have that heavy yoke. It's not about excluding them or driving them away. It's about relieving them. It's about setting them free. It's about how we live. And Paul tells us all about that. In his letter to the Romans, he talks about all these things that we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live without hypocrisy, how we're supposed to abhor what is evil and cling to what is good, be kindly and affectionate to one another with brotherly love, how we're supposed to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, not lagging in diligence, rejoicing in hope, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. We get to the really challenging part here. We're supposed to bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. See, the Pharisees were pretty good about laying the curses on, laying the anathemas and putting the restrictions. And Jesus said, they lay heavy burdens and bind those burdens on people. But they never lifted a finger to loosen those burdens. That's not what we're supposed to do. Jesus also said, wherever two or three are gathered, or whatever two or three agree on, in my name, I am there in the midst of you. They took the power, the Pharisees did, of the Sanhedrin to declare things as official. When the Sanhedrin declares things, it's done. The Sanhedrin declared Jesus was a heretic, a blasphemer, trouble for the state. They said he was worthy of death. So let it be written, so let it be done. It was official. That was the Sanhedrin, the whole council. Jesus says, forget that. Two or three of you are gathered together, I'm there. That's authority. Now let's look at the Ezekiel passage. The Ezekiel passage is really, really powerful. It's really moving, and it's scary. Okay? Cut and dry. It's really simple. God says to the prophet, I've made you a watchman on the wall. Ooh, that's cool. I like that. I'm a watchman. Yeah. Okay. Nice. Okay. But he says, if the watchman sees the enemy coming and doesn't say anything, and the enemy comes in and, you know, does all this slaughtering, whatever the blood is shed, that's on the watchman's hands. If the watchman saw them coming and didn't raise the alarm, whatever happens to the city, that's the watchman's fault. But if the watchman raises the alarm and says, hey, the bad guys are coming, somebody do something, and everybody says, eh, whatever, that's not the watchman's fault. The watchman did his job. He rang his little bell, and everybody said, yeah, we're more interested in, you know, watching our soaps. Real Housewives are on. We'll get to you in a minute. So, that's not the watchman's fault. So he says, you're the watchman. Okay? Son of man, I have made you the watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, and the wicked shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hands. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his ways, and he does not turn from his wicked way, and he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore, you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away, how can the wind then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord our God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn away from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We are called to bring people to peace with the Lord. We are the watchmen on the wall. We are called to say, there is an enemy who's coming. That enemy is sin and death. And he is coming for every single one of us. And he will attack and overpower every single one of us. And you need to be aware of it. And we have a responsibility because we have been set as the watchmen on the walls. Now the problem is, we need to make the people aware of it. Now, we can sit there with a sandwich board hung over our shoulders saying, you're all miserable, wretched sinners, and you need to repent or you're going to die and go to hell. And this is technically true. And we can pat ourselves on the back and say, we've done our jobs and those poor little wretches didn't listen and it's not our fault. I've done my job. I did what I was supposed to. I warned them and they didn't listen. Not my fault. And that is not at all what God has called us to do. God has called us to bring people to him. That message doesn't work. You want to know what message works? The message that works is setting people free. The message that works is living out what Paul does, what Paul says we should be doing. When we set people free, when we're living that loosing, when we stop binding and we start loosing, when we can agree to start setting people free because we are doing what Paul says, that's when people start paying attention to our message. We don't set people free. We don't let people turn from their sins by saying, "You're a wretch. You need to stop what you're doing." We see them turn from their sins when they see us living life differently. When they see us rejoicing in our lives, even in the hard times, I guarantee that there are people right now who are absolutely amazed at what's going on in the Wright and Hayes families right now. Because the faith that those families have is inspiring. Because they know where their son and where their grandson is. And they've known for a while where he was going to be going. They've not had any doubt. And even in one of the worst calamities that their family will endure, there's a peace there, there's a confidence. They can go through it because they know where he's going. When we comport ourselves, when we carry ourselves with the grace that says, "I'm a Christian. Yeah, I suffer from sin. Sin and death attack me. They're the enemy outside the gates. But I know who my Lord is. And I know who fights my battles for me. And he is more than a conqueror. And I'm more than a conqueror through him. And more importantly, you can be too. When you're bound up in your addiction, when you're bound up in your regret, when you're bound up in your miserable life, when you're bound up in your resentment and your hatred and your issues and all of that other stuff, I know who has the power to loose. And it's Jesus. Let me take you to him whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light." That's how we fulfill our call as watchmen. It's not by banging a drum and wearing a sandwich board and saying, "The end is near, repent." It's by living lives that draw people to Christ. That's how we preach the message of redemption. That's how we agree with one another to bind and loose. We need to bind hatred and sinfulness and death, and loose forgiveness, loose peace, and loose reconciliation. Because that's what we've been called to do. Let's bring the sinners to Christ and loose them from their chains. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.